This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I am going to say is that, you know what, I did touch the money, and I feel terrible because of it. And I want to be in a good mood, and you know, seeing the way that they play the last two games has just been
disheartening.
It has been disheartening. And you know that Jalen Brunson's coming back. He'll stabilize the team for sure. But to lose to these teams with losing records is just amazing.
Well, so here, this was the angle, because to sit here and just break down a game, blah, blah. But this is what I don't understand. We heard the clips from Josh Hart, and I actually watched most of his little session with the media last night. And what he kept saying is part what Chris just played, about how the energy's just not there, we're not playing the right way. So here would be my question, why not?
Well, I mean, it's an 18-game season, and there always are going to be lulls.
But if you're aware of it and cognizant of it going into the game, why can't you change that?
Because they're human beings, that's why. And it's not always going to be perfect, but you don't expect it to be this bad in back-to-back games. And I know they had to fly out to San Antonio. They had to fly back to Charlotte. It's back-to-back. It's against bad teams. You don't have your point guard out there with you. You're supposed to be better defensively when you have Mitchell Robinson on the court. It's not been the case the last couple of games, and quite frankly, it's a lull. It's coming, you know, later on in the season, which is a little bit concerning, but they can get it right. And again, going into the playoffs, that's where it will all basically flush itself out, and we will see what kind of team this truly is. Well, is it going to be a team that we truly love and respect, like last year's team, even though they didn't make it? Or is it going to be a team that's overpriced, gave up too many assets to get too many guys here, and it's a team that basically falls flat on its face?
All right, so let me put this in football terms then. Let's say back in the day, the Cincinnati Bengals play a game against the Houston Oilers, and in this specific game, you guys went, let's say, 1 for 9 on screen passes.
Did we? Did we play? We obviously were playing in the Astrodome. Then,
wherever you were playing,
we got our asses kicked in there the time.
You couldn't complete a 7-yard.
Sounds
pass
familiar.
Play.
Yeah, sounds very familiar.
But you understand where I'm going? Are you going to tell me that following week you don't think you'd be better with your screen?
Well, you play? Better be better. Yes.
Okay.
Because your coaches got to practice. But here's the thing. Here's the difference, though. I just want to give you just one different thing. If you're on a really good team and you have really high-paid players, and these players are popular, and these players are beating bad teams in their own building and celebrating those wins, and then they go on the road and they lose to teams that have losing records, you know, that's kind of inexcusable. There are serious expectations for the team. Now, if you're on a bad team, if your team stinks and you're like the Charlotte Hornets or you're like the San Antonio Spurs who are missing Victor Wembanyama, you know, you already know that your season's in the tank and you have no chance of getting to the playoffs. So you got to give both the Spurs and the Hornets at least a little bit of credit for playing hard in games that don't mean anything.
But I'll give them all the credit in the world because LaMelo Ball played phenomenal last night. Now, these two guys I never heard of, DaQuan Jeffries, a JUCO college player, I don't know who he is, and this Mark Williams, they both had big games. That I expect the Knicks to handle. But my point was, if you guys struggled in one aspect of the game 1 week, I would expect you to be better the following week at it. What was the biggest issue? Forget how they're playing offensively and all that for a second. What was the biggest issue in San Antonio, would you say?
A lack of defense and wide open 3-point shots.
Correct. So explain to me how, and I don't want to hear about the back-to-back
and
the travel.
If I'm the coach of the Charlotte Hornets, I'm saying, guys, by the way, they don't defend the 3-point shot.
Great. And if I'm Tom Thibodeau, and he knows what he's seeing, and I'm sure they've gone over this, and I'm sure in film they talked about closeouts and perimeter defense, then explain to me how this team that's got OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges allows the Charlotte Hornets to go 15 of 30 from 3-point range.
Yeah, well, that's the $100 million question or $225 million question when you think about how much money some of these guys are making.
Yeah, but
I swear to God, if they were all making $1 million, I would understand it, and I'd say, you know, they're trying hard, but they're just not good enough. But they're paid to be
good. But they are good enough. That's
the
thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why the annoyance. That's why you get frustrated as a fan. The same thing I could say for about the Rangers. Same thing. You know, if Juan Soto goes into like a 4-week slump, how do you think he's going to be treated?
Oh, no, he'll get booed. Of course he'll get booed.
I'm just saying.
We booed Derek Jeter here.
It's the gambling part of it. It's the salary part of it. And the higher the salaries get, the more expectations there are and the more intensity there is attached to a team that is falling flat on their face or playing a flat brand of hockey or basketball, which both teams seem to be playing right now.
And then the other thing, too, these starts. It's just like getting killed in the first quarter of this game. Here's Frank in North Haven. What's up, Frank?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
All righty, Frankie. What's happening, man?
So, yeah, Boomer, I love you guys. I watch you guys every day.
Thank you.
And anyway, you know, getting on the Knicks. You know, I've been watching them since I was a child. You know, I'm 66. And, you know, what I see, and I'm a Rangers fan. I mean, what a nightmare last night just watching both games. So, anyway, what I see from the team is they have no bench at all. None. You know, other teams have guys that just come right in and produce.
Well, in fairness, Brunson being out does, we know it hurts them in terms of their depth for sure. I mean, you're looking at, what, Precious Achiuwa and Cam Payne? I mean, I don't even know what you would say in terms of their, Precious Achiuwa is your sixth guy for sure. But yeah, we know that. We do know this, but they still should be better than this.
But most teams have more guys that could come in and play than the Knicks. The Knicks, and then when they don't produce, they got to put the starters back in, and I'm seeing them burnt out. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing them tired, lack of interest.
Frank, I'm not saying you're wrong. I you're probably right. I hate that argument. Because the same guys that are tired and burnt out in April are the same guys, or March, are the same guys that as soon as this season ends will go play in international games because all of a sudden they found energy. And I mean, come on, they're being paid a fortune.
Well, yeah, they are being paid a fortune, but
super conditioned.
And I'd also say, when you look at the minutes amounts played, and I know that Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart are all up there in terms of minutes per game, but so are the other great players in the league. they're all playing about the same amount of minutes a game.
And it does look like, when you look at the last handful of games, the minutes have come down. He has used more of his bench, and maybe that is the issue.
You could say whatever you want about team shooting. There's one thing that I always worry about and I always am concerned about, and that is effort. And the effort the last two games has not been there, and you could see it.
And admitted by Josh Hart.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so that is a real concern, because that's not what these guys are being paid for. I would also say, you know, that was like the Rangers against the Flames. No effort, disconnected, disinterested, and they lose the game 2-1. And then last night they were much better in terms of at least what I would say energy and effort and forechecking. And again, you know, they end up losing a game just because they're not good enough against top-end teams. So it's kind of like the Knicks. I mean, they're a good team. They shouldn't be losing to teams like this, but they're not going to beat the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers, or for that matter, the Detroit Pistons, if they play them in the first round of the playoffs, if they play with this effort, especially on defense. Defense is effort. That's what defense is. You know, you can mail it in all you want because you're hitting your three-pointers, but when you're not hitting your three-pointers and you're allowing the other team open shots
and a lot of them,
and in the last two games, the teams that they've played, the bottom-feeding teams that they've played, have hit their three-point shots. It's ridiculous.
It sure is.
And you really think Cat feels that way? You think he's sitting back saying, I don't care?
I think he's probably saying, F Draymond, but I'm not letting it infect my life. You know what I mean?
Oh, what about your teammates? Forget about what he thinks about Draymond. What about your teammates? The guys you live with, the guys you work with, the guys
they
you travel with.
They clearly have their own feelings towards Draymond.
That's a problem.
Why?
Something didn't feel right about that. And you know what? I'll take the slings and arrows, and I'm some kind of hater. I'm some kind of mean,
not
bad guy.
This
is what I observed last night or Saturday.
I just think you're overinterpreting it. I think you're just making it a bigger deal than it actually is.
Am I making a bigger deal than it is to Tommy?
I think once again, this is where I felt after the game. Draymond Green rubbed their face in it, whether it was the night-night or whether it was the taunting, and nobody did anything about it. In fact, they took it a step further. Now, I had no issue with a PJ Tucker doing it. He just got here. But Bridges, I think Mitchell Robinson did it as well, but Mikal, we know for sure. You got to draw a line, dude. Because this is now a blueprint where other people, not everybody's Draymond, he's the master at the mental chess, but other teams are going to go to school on this with a Cat or someone else on the team, and they're going to say, you know what? We could do whatever we want to this team. We could bully them. We could push them around. We could say what we want, and they're not going to do a damn thing about it. In fact, they may dap us up afterwards, and that is a bad precedent to set, not just in this particular situation, Teak,
right,
but also going forward where other teams go to school
respectfully,
on.
I just have to disagree with you guys, because I was in an arena that was like this. Football is different than basketball, but I was in an arena exactly like this, where quite literally, every time I tried to say anything, whether it was great hit or you suck or whatever, Shauna Taylor would just say, F you.
Mm.
No matter what I said.
Right.
F you, man. What? Hey, man, good hit. F you. Man, I got you on that one. F you. He was in a mode where all he wanted to do on game day was hate his opponent. Period. But then I see him at the Pro Bowl. I was like, hey, bro, what's up, man?
But isn't that the difference right there? I don't think Draymond's like that at all. This extended past the game.
I don't know. I think in Draymond in person with these guys hanging out at whatever club they're hanging out, they're all boys.
Right.
Right? It's just Draymond has this persona. What's a guy for the Vikings? What was his name? Randall? John Randall.
John Randall.
He was the same way. Just wouldn't shut up. Like, he got to the point where he was annoying you or talking at you so, like, violently and just nonsensically. He just was trying to get in your head. He was trying to make you a lesser player by making you think about him. And so the only way to combat that is to just go do your job.
But isn't the difference between Sean Taylor and Randall that they did it between the white lines?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Draymond did that.
It's a different era.
I think Draymond extended.
But I think it's a different era. I think the trash talk game extends way beyond let's go, whistle, you know, start the tip off, let's go, final whistle. I think it extends way beyond that because it's accessible now. Like, you can see it. You can see it in social media. You see it. Mm-hmm. He's on ABC.
Yeah.
Right? We know what his job's going to be when he's done. He's going to be talking trash like Charles Barkley when he's all said and done. So I think the game has evolved to be outside of the game as far as trash talking is concerned.
I feel that. You know, I look at the Knicks, like, the logo I don't like. I'm not a Knicks fan. Most of you fans, like you, Tommy, I don't like you guys. But I look at the individual people. I like Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. I just admit it. He's a class guy.
Right.
He comes across like a real dude. And I think the reputation he has is unfair. He's regarded just very commonly, even by his brethren, as soft. And I think it's unfair. And I think what Kat said before the game about fighting hate with love was actually a fine thing.
Mm-hmm.
I got no issue with it. I'm not looking for Karl Anthony Towns to be someone he's not by punching a guy in the face.
Right.
That's not who he is. And what bothered me Saturday night after I was happy because you lost, see, I'll pull the curtain back, is I felt like no one stood up for him. And it pissed me off because I like him.
Right.
And I'm like, I feel, and maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe Kat will meet me privately and say, by the way, Evan, I don't really give a crap. Teach right. I heard your show. Teach right. I couldn't care. Maybe that's the truth. But the way I felt Saturday night has to be the way a lot of Knicks fans felt, which is they didn't stand up for him. They let it happen.
And that's where the public perception becomes reality, where people look at this team, whether it's some Knicks fans or people from the outside or people in the league, mm-hmm. where we can push them around. They're soft. They're not going to do anything about it. And Draymond just wrote the blueprint out because this guy went out of bounds. He promoted his podcast as he was fake apologizing, which I don't know how you could get any lower, quite frankly.
He did not apologize.
Right, but when he was attempting to apologize, he was literally using the attention to promote his podcast. And then the game gets there. He had the winning shot or whatever you want to call it, and then he does the go to sleep, and nobody did anything about it, and then they're hugging after the game.
But what are they going to do about it? That's what I don't understand. Like, what are they going to do because he's telling them?
Either get in his face or walk away. Don't hug him. That they picked the worst possible option.
There's no Dennis Rodmans on this Knicks team.
No, but like, they can walk away.
What are you talking about?
Is that a problem, though? You just said it. You're right. There's no Dennis Rodman on this team. Is that a problem?
I don't care. If they think they can win, I didn't construct this team. Leon Rose constructed this team.
But do you think it's going to be a problem?
I don't know.
I think it will be.
Maybe it will be.
I think it's going to be.
I don't know. Some teams win different ways. I have no idea. I don't think that the Denver Nuggets have a bunch of dogs on their team. Yet they have one great player who's won multiple MVPs and pushed him to a championship. He didn't even care. Afterwards, he's like, wait, I got to go to a parade? I'd rather go back home and just chill. Right? It's just there's different ways to do it. Draymond has a formula with how he's won a lot in this league and helped the Warriors win multiple championships. It's by being an ass, and it's by influencing your mind more than your physical play on the court. And so if you're going to get, I don't know, convoluted because Draymond Green is talking trash at you, you're in the wrong game, right? And Kat compartmentalizes it in a different way. And I respect him for it because that's him. I can't tell him to be somebody he's not. I can't tell his teammates to be somebody they're not.
See, I have no issue with Kat's as teammates. The teammate thing is the thing that bothers me.
Yeah, but okay. I just don't, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do about it.
Look, I don't have a great...
This isn't like the NFL where if you hit the quarterback, you're trying to intimidate the quarterback and you hit him when he's down, four offensive linemen are coming bludgeoning you, right? It doesn't work that way in basketball.
And I'm not even suggesting this. You could smack a guy as he's coming to the basket.
No, you can. The NBA is so soft. When you talk about Kat being soft, the NBA in general is soft.
But you can still do it even if there are ramifications.
Right? It's almost soccer at this point.
Right.
The way that guys flop and I don't know, lay around like they just got their, you know, hit with a 2x4.
But it doesn't mean you can't do it.
I'm just saying it's soft.
No, I agree, but you can still do it. Like, you'll get thrown out of the game. You'll get a flagrant two, and you'll be gone.
What's the point of doing that? Because now you've hurt your team because you're not available.
Yeah, look,
it's like getting a red card in soccer. Right? It felt good. Yeah, I broke that guy's leg. But yeah, you're playing a man down there.
Honestly, to me, it wasn't even about that. Like, I'm not on the side of punch somebody in the face or commit a flagrant.
So what
it's
are you
more
saying,
the visual of it was brutal after the game.
Who cares what the visual is?
It looks like you're making out with this guy after he's insulting your best player.
But how do you not know they don't have a relationship? a prior relationship that stems from something else that they've done in the offseason or been on podcasts together or had to drink.
Take a game off from showing the relationship to the people. What's
that is not today's athlete, dude.
Well, they're wrong.
Football players exchange jerseys. The basketball players are like, bro, come to the crib after the game. I know you guys aren't leaving until tomorrow. We'll go get some drinks and hang out with some honeys. That's what athletes do these days. It's not the hate you culture like it used to be. It used to be, I hate my opponent. It is not that way anymore.
Let's go
in any sport.
Let's go to
John and Suffern. What's up, John? Hello, John.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, I have a big problem with Tiki.
Go ahead. I have a big problem with you, John.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Tiki, aren't you the one that said once upon a time when Eli was trying to be a leader it was laughable?
Have you watched Eli Manning post-career?
No. Answer my question. Not the one you want me to answer.
Answer my question, John, you jackass. It's my show. Have you watched Eli post-career?
You call me a jackass.
Have you watched Eli post-career?
You know what, Tiki?
Have you watched Eli post-career? Hold on. One second, John.
Tiki,
let me ask you a better question. Let me ask you a better question. A more relevant question.
You won't answer it, Tiki.
Did you hear me say that?
Yes.
You heard me say it. When did I say it?
Oh, you didn't say it? Is it laughable?
Did you hear me say it? I'm asking you a very simple question.
Did you say it or not?
Did you hear me say it?
Did you say it or not?
Well, if you tell me you heard me say it, I'll tell you whether or not I said it.
Laughable. Laughable. And all you keep doing is doing the same thing you've always done.
John, you're a jackass, dude. John, bye. Don't call anymore. By the way, John's a jackass because he's taking something that he didn't hear. He heard it secondhand in some article by some beat reporter and twisted it into his own narrative. How was relevant to this? I have no idea.
No, I'm still
trying like
to figure it out.
He's sitting on this for 13, 15 years or whatever it is. John, you are a loser, dude. What I said about Eli when I retired, by the way, it was on Football Night in America, and I promise nobody listening to this show heard it. I promise you, because it was at 11 o'clock at night after a preseason game.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Nobody heard this.
Yeah.
But some beat reporter got a light of it, twisted it, and told it to Eli in a different way. The only reason it became a story was because Eli responded to it, right? Just like with Saquon. Don't respond to the radio bit. Don't respond to the TV bit. I was asked a question about Eli's leadership qualities. And I said, Eli is like, you know, he's comical how he leads. And what I meant by that is that he's funny, right? And have you seen him post-career? What is Eli? It's all satire. It's humor. It's just like his brother. Like, he's hilarious. He's awesome in a way. So what got twisted from Eli is funny and entertaining and we enjoy being around him to, oh, his leadership style is comical or laughable as jackass John decided to try to re-spin it. John, if you're going to call, you got to have your facts right. And if I ask jackass, and I hate that about people, I hate people like you, John, because you don't know what you're talking about and you call up just to get your point in. You might not like me for whatever reason. It might be because I'm black. It might be because I'm smart. It might be because I'm a giant instead of a jet or whatever the heck it is. You have a clear bias against me, and I hate you, the fact that you called and try to get me on something that you don't know what you're talking about. That frustrates me more than anything. If you want to call me or see me and just have a conversation, I will talk to you. Whether you're talking trash to me, whether you're lauding me, I will have a conversation with you. But when you call and you act like that, you can kiss my ass, John.
Music. Maybe you should have booked Daniel Murphy for the day off. We're going to have some fun with the Irish Hammer. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. I know you've been sitting on it for a while. I have some thoughts on it as well. Go ahead, BT. Take it away with the Knicks as far as your issues with them against the Warriors.
Well, I've got a lot of issues with the Knicks. And the first issue, and I verbalized this, obviously, I don't think they're good enough to win the championship. Now I just don't think they have the heart required to win a championship. Saturday was a big problem for me. And it should be a big problem for Karl-Anthony Towns. After what Draymond Green said, and everybody knows what Draymond Green said, he was incredibly insensitive and doubled down and even went back to, this is how we ended the interview, when he found out what happened, how cancer impacted Karl Anthony Towns' world. He said, well, you know, hey, the Draymond Green was with Barron, and Baron Davis podcast got to go on, got to roll on. Are you kidding me? The insensitivity to that was beyond comprehension. It was so embarrassing for him. And then for the New York Knicks to lose, and then to a man, including the coach, go over and dap up, not only dap him up, but seek him out, was one of the most pathetic displays that I've ever seen from a Knicks team that I respected. I'm not talking about the trash teams. A team that was supposed to be good and supposed to be tough, they just showed you their soul. They just showed you who they are in terms of heart. So we could stop guessing, are they tough enough? No, they're not. Are they too soft? Yes, they are. And if I'm Karl Anthony Towns, I got words with a lot of people behind closed doors in that locker room. That was an embarrassment what they pulled the other night.
But don't you think Karl Anthony Towns set the tone for that? He said, no big deal. Didn't he say that? Now, again, I'm paraphrasing, and I'd ask Hoff. But
well, he said, I choose to meet either okay, not yeah, hate, yeah, with, hey, with love. With love.
Okay.
But that's, no, that you're not, it's not like you're
well,
endorsing
what do you mean? Okay,
but what
so
you're
he,
saying is,
but, no, but if he chooses that, like, if this happened to you or I or people at the fan and somebody was like, hey, well, I choose to fight it with love, what are you supposed to say? Then we're supposed to go out there and feud and fight it with hate?
No. But I think that there's a fine line between, like, if Karl Anthony Towns would have said, if he would have said, hey, I've known Draymond for 15 years, we're good. He didn't say that. He basically just said, I'm going to meet, however he framed it, with kindness, with love. So that's the classy way of saying, I'm not stooping to his level. And his dopey teammate should have been smart enough to pick up on that. What is Tom Thibodeau doing?
Yeah, I don't think they gave it much thought.
And that's the problem. They gave it no thought.
Yeah, but I really don't think it's that big of a deal.
I can't stand it.
I have more of an issue with the way the Knicks closed that game than I do with what they did afterward. Karl Anthony Towns should have punked Draymond Green. He didn't. As a matter of fact, he got punked down the stretch of that game, turning the ball over and being sloppy. Karl Anthony Towns had the chance to respond on his own. Forget his teammates. You're a big boy. Brunson's out. You're the guy on the team right now with Jalen Brunson out.
He played great that night, Sal. He had an awesome game. Okay. He answered the bell.
Not down the stretch, he did not.
I understand that, but from the tip till... Okay. No, 95% of the game, he's best player on the court, Anthony Towns.
But I'm not even saying that. I'm saying verbally he could have fought back and said that was classless by Draymond Green. I took issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
He said love is love and we're going to fight it with love. Okay, fine. So then you can't, he can't, and he's the only person who really has the right on this, can't criticize his teammates for if they're friends with Draymond. I don't know the relationship that Tibbs has with Draymond Green or Bridges or anybody else. Like, do I think that I would do something like that or do I love it? No, it's not the 90s anymore. These guys fraternize all the time. They all love each other. It's pathetic. But to me, it was on Towns who should have been. We talked about that before it was even a thought. Hey, go out there, throw some bows, get physical, send a message.
We did say it.
Not dominate from beyond the arc. Go get, let,
yeah, yeah,
make
let,
your
let them know. Plant something in the sternum. Yeah. That's exactly what I said on the air. Now, listen, by the way, I'm not saying that, you know, Josh Hart or I mean, name the five Knicks that made a procession to kiss Draymond Green's ass for some reason. We all know who they were. I'm not saying that. You go and fight him. I'm not even saying to be mad at him necessarily. But I think in the public eye, I think they needed to show more sensitivity and more respect for Karl Anthony Towns. And what you
wouldn't they look like babies? Let's just say, because I get that.
Karl Anthony Towns walked off the court. Yeah, then why can't you follow him, take the cue from him?
What if the Knicks did that and then everybody's like, oh, the Knicks sore losers can't be.
I would say I'm like, no, I would have, you know what my opinion would be? I would say, okay. Okay, now you get Jalen Brunson back healthy, and maybe this is the first sign of a team that I haven't felt from day one. You know that.
Yeah.
From day one has what it takes to win. I actually think they can lose in the first round. I think there's a better chance they lose in round one than there is getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. I strongly believe that. Now, I want to be proven wrong, but when you see your star, you know he just lost somebody close to him to cancer. I'm not saying you go and you kick in the door to the Warriors dressing room and you want to fight Draymond. I'm not saying that. You could even dap him up. But do him where there's no cameras.
Yeah.
To me, it's so disrespectful. Sal,
we haven't heard anything post that, right, yet? Because
not,
I know that was Saturday night, so it's only Monday now.
They played
tonight against the Heat.
Yeah, that's
maybe,
at home.
So maybe we'll get some conversation about, hey, what the hell happened there? Were you bothered by this?
Somebody asked Tom Thibodeau, coach. You know, your star player was in the middle of, you know, a very tough, you know, very sensitive situation last week. Why did you feel compelled to go over, you and the rest of your guys, to go over there and show such affection publicly for the guy who said it? And then, by the way, didn't show much interest in taking it back and making it better. That is weak.
Yeah, I'm
that is unacceptable. Honestly, that's soft, man. And I knew something was off with this team, and that proved it.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. And if anything, now you don't have that feeling, though, toward Cat. You're more on the team.
More on the team.
But you see, I would be okay if you went like that at Carl Anthony Towns.
If Carl shot 3 for 14 and was a ghost, I would have destroyed him. But he, and I know he had a couple of fumbles down the stretch,
well,
but he played great.
Yeah, and the Knicks played, I thought, a tough game. Remember, they're without Brunson here.
I don't care that they lost the game. I don't even care if they lost. Right. No, I'm not even talking. 2 and 3 road trip. I know they don't have Brunson. I'm not expecting them to win these games. That's fine. I'm talking about a character. I'm talking about something that is non-negotiable. And I know it's too easy, Sal, to say, what would Mace do? What would Oak do?
What would DiVincenzo do?
I got a question. Boom. What would Hartenstein do last year?
What would DiVincenzo do last year?
I mean, I could go back to last year. Now, Carl Anthony Towns, the reason why I fully exonerate him.
Yeah.
I was going to say, number one, he got pulled into something unfairly. Somebody spoke out of school like a dope without knowing what was going on. And listen, we all have moments where we maybe don't know things, but then when you have a chance to make it right, you need to make it right, just man to man, human to human, do the right thing. He made it worse.
Yeah.
He made it worse, right? So Carl Anthony Towns, all Carl wants to do is go to a funeral, come back, and try to help the Knicks win. He goes to the funeral. When he's asked about it, he says, now, maybe I don't know if I would have said it that way. You probably would have,
no.
But that's his way. And it was very classy, and I respect that. And then he went out, and for 95% of the game, he was the best player on the court. What can I say about Carl? My problems with his teammates. I was so taken back by that. I actually saw that from the Garden, and I said, I once this confetti's done and I'm home, and I actually tweeted one little tiny thing over the weekend because I wanted to save it for the show. If you're a Knicks fan, how do you believe in that crew right now? I don't.
But I just don't know why you wouldn't think that they're following along what Towns said. If Towns didn't make it a big deal, you know, one analogy, I don't know if it's the exact thing, but Piazza Clemens in 2000.
Yep.
Where the bench did not do anything for Piazza when he got, like, I don't know about you, but if,
yeah,
a guy clearly throws up and in at my best player and hits him in the head on purpose, I'm coming out swinging on him. I wanted to do it myself from the upper tier at Yankee Stadium.
Was that Chubby Sal? Chubby Sal.
Yeah, I was rolling up on Big Rog. He was going down. But anyway, so like if I felt that, you would hope that some of the teammates did. It was just kind of like, you know, that's Mike. So in this particular spot, and again, I don't know if it's apples to apples here, but in this particular spot, Carl Anthony Towns had the chance to set the record straight and say what Draymond said. Now, he doesn't have to be a jerk about it. He could just say what Draymond said was disrespectful, and I didn't appreciate it. He was wrong about what he did. It was insensitive and flat-out disrespectful, and I don't appreciate it. Then you could go out there and let your play do the talking. He didn't. He said he wanted to fight it with love. Like, if anybody's soft, I'm sorry, but it's my guy, Carl Anthony Towns. I think he was soft in this whole matter. Somebody punks you like that, incorrectly so, and you're not going to do anything about it?
Yeah.
And now I'm supposed to get on his teammates for not doing it? He had the chance to do it. He nipped it in the bud. He handled it the way that he wanted. I thought it was soft, but then I certainly can't go at his teammates if they're not backing him up.
I think that they needed to read the room better and take the cue. You know that it was discussed on some level. It had to be. And if not, then that's just irresponsible. Then the Knicks don't have the leadership that I think that I thought that they did. I think when you see him make a beeline, if you're a Knick player, which he did right away, he's like, I'm out of here right away. And I think that should be the evidence that, you know, it's really bothering him. And then this isn't the first time it's been insinuated, you know, that he's soft or, you know, Draymond's kind of waded into these waters with Carl Anthony Towns. Like, I get it. Everybody kind of speaks on everybody's own business here. And even the Mets, which I don't like, I'm just old school with that. But even the Mets example with Piazza, with Clemens back in 2000. All right, number one, it's the World Series. You charge if you get suspended. Okay, that's the obvious. But the equivalent would be then publicly, hey, you throw a bat at my boy Mike. Yo, what's going on, man? Giving hugs.
Right.
Like, at least they didn't do that. They were eyeballing him. I know that they would have loved to try to rip his throat off in the tunnel if they had a chance. I know that some of the Mets would have liked to do that. But just the visual, I'm watching this, and I'm like, This team, it's one thing to get smoked by the Celtics, get smoked by the Cavs, get smoked by the Thunder, get smoked by the new Lakers with Luka. This team does not have the heart. They will not win a championship. They don't have it.
What if it were Brunson that this whole thing happened with?
They probably would have, I mean, that's a good question. Meaning, would they have responded differently?
Yeah.
I would think that they would.
Yeah, so
I mean, probably.
But and now why do you think that that is? Because Brunson sets a different tone?
Well, because they know him better. I mean, they've known him for 10 years, okay, going back to Nova.
So maybe there's a part of that, too. But I'm just saying, like, Brunson as the leader, and maybe if Brunson were there, this would have been a different story. Remember, the Knicks are without their leader. Maybe if he were there, they would have handled it differently.
Ah, boy.
Although Tibbs, maybe I have the biggest issue with him because there's no excuse to why.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Thibodeau, I got a quick one for you. And I'll tell you why familiarity shouldn't force you to do the right thing by teammates. So I'm working in Detroit. I got to know Rick Carlisle real well, right? And, you know, obviously talking about the Pistons all the time. But I remember actually watching him as a Knick. He got traded to the Knicks for a minute, right? And they were playing Seattle. And Rick wasn't a good NBA player, with all due respect. He was a fringe guy, right? But he played a couple of minutes. And they're playing Seattle. Xavier McDaniel. This is young, tough, crazy man. And, you know, always tough, but, I mean, young. And he was trying to intimidate Rick Carlisle. Now, Rick's with the Knicks. And he got there that day. It was his first game as a Knick. And Xavier's talking smack in his face. And Rick told me that all of a sudden, Rick felt a massive arm over his right shoulder, or one of his shoulders, and it was Ewing's hand basically grabbing McDaniel's jersey or his throat or something, and he said, "That's my teammate." He didn't even know Rick Carlisle.
Well, that's,
Rick was there for a day.
Don't you think, though? Now, I love that.
I know it's a different generation.
That's the point. We're talking about 30 years, even that's before that, but I'm talking about the 90s Knicks.
It is actually before that.
The 90s Knicks, to me, was the greatest team, not talent. I'm talking about team. Like, you knock down one of our guys, you're getting it twofold, maybe tenfold the other way. You touch one of our guys, you say something wrong about one of our guys, you're getting it. We can rip this guy. You say something about it, you're getting it. You're coming in the lane, you're getting hit. Like, the team would protect the team.
Yes.
But that's 30 years ago. And in the NBA, I just don't think it's even close to that anymore.
I just want to differentiate between it. And trust me, I'm not trying to come across as Timmy Tough Guy. I'm definitely not. I'm not saying throw fists, it's over. All I'm saying is, visibly, that look, that is now forever in my mind. Just don't do it on the cameras. Like, you went out and you sought him out.
Yeah.
You went to him after he said what he said and didn't take it back. That is, these Knicks don't have it.
Be curious to see if there's some fallout from it. As far as the play goes, maybe that is something that Towns was bothered by, and now we see a lack of cohesion, especially without Jalen Brunson tonight against Miami. Ken is in Old Bridge. What's up, Ken?
You hit on a couple of things when Chris was in here. The night, you know, you can talk about their road trip. Not a great trip. Fair enough. And I think that's not an easy trip for a lot of teams that go out west, regardless of who you're playing. And I thought the game at Golden State was an opportunity. You had the, I guess you would call it, bad blood between Karl Anthony Towns, the Draymond Green comments.
Well, Draymond Green called him out and said that he was missing a game on purpose.
Because of Jimmy Butler.
Because he didn't want to play against Jimmy Butler, his former teammate in Minnesota, where Tom Thibodeau was the head coach. And maybe there's some truth to that, but in reality, there was a major event that happened in Cat's life with his girlfriend and her best friend who died of cancer.
Yes.
And he had to go to the funeral, so... You know, Draymond Green did not apologize about that, but he did say that it's unfortunate that that took place in his life. He was sorry that that had happened, but, you know, my podcast must go on.
Correct.
Whatever the hell that means.
And then I think, and this is the sense I got, especially listening to the radio station a little bit yesterday when I did, listening to Knick fans, and I don't disagree with them. The idea after the game that you've got Tom Thibodeau going up to Draymond Green afterwards, and not to yell at him, but it looked pleasant. You've got Mikal Bridges going up to him afterwards. If I'm Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know. That would bother me.
Well, Karl Anthony Towns went off the court. He didn't even shake anybody's hands. Hey, look, teammates got to stick together. At the end of the day, it's all about those guys having each other's back. And that is not a good look.
No, it's not. It's terrible.
And that's what everybody's now focusing on. Does this team have the edge? Does this team have the chip on its shoulder that it had last year that gave you more than you expected after the injuries had taken place? I do think that this team is a really good team, and I think that they're going to get to the second round, and I think they're going to get knocked out.
You might be right. And what made them so good last year is why I think St. John's, and everyone would agree, St. John's is so good this year. They played defense, and they played defense for 40 minutes. And last year there was, I'm sure there were other teams that were good defensively, but when you thought NBA defense last year, you thought the Knicks. Now, the conversation early on in this season, when they were kind of struggling to defend but were outscoring teams, was, well, it's not the playoffs.
One of the best offensive teams in the league.
No doubt. And they can score with anybody, and I still do believe that.
Until they got into the, you know, the better top-tier teams in the league.
Right.
And they don't defend a three-point shot at all, and they have a hard time preventing pick and rolls for some reason. It's the most basic of plays in all of sports is the give and go, the pick and roll, that kind of thing. And for some reason, this team really has a hard time stopping Cleveland from doing that, and they have a hard time stopping Boston from dropping threes on their ass.
No question. And then the big question will be when we do get to the playoffs, and Jalen Brunson's out another week or two. It might not be the worst thing in the world that he misses 4 weeks of the season. He should, if anything, it will give him a little bit fresher legs, I would think, to maybe finish out the season better. Injury is what it is. I know last year, to me, he wasn't gassed to get injured, and hopefully that doesn't happen again when he comes back. But the question would be, can they turn it on defensively? Because while a couple of guys aren't here, you still have pieces that should be good enough on the defensive end.
All right, how about these last three stories? You have Mikal Bridges going to Tom Thibodeau. Maybe you could play the bench a little bit more. You have this situation with Draymond Green and Karl Anthony Towns and his teammates completely going over and hugging Draymond Green. And then on top of all of that, you got Jalen Brunson who's hurt.
Right now, it's not great right now.
But this is kind of part of the adversity that you deal with as a
exactly.
team. But the one thing that would bother me, and I don't know if it bothers Carl Anthony Towns, you would have to ask him this. But my teammates going over and hugging that guy who's just blasted me for whatever reason, and you know, I don't think it's the first time that he's blasted him. I'm sure that he's questioned him openly in other areas as well. Meaning that the word he's kind of intimating that he's soft. Mm-hmm. That's what he's intimating.
It's exactly what he's intimating, that he was afraid of the battle with Jimmy Butler because they've had a past experience together. I don't think having watched him, so that was the knock on him, was that he was a soft player. But watching him this season as I have, I think because he shoots so many threes, he's maybe not on the interior like you'd like a 7-footer to be. Doesn't mean he's not great at what he does. He's also a rebounding machine.
Now, they've been better defensively since Mitchell Robinson's come back. But again, they haven't been whole all year. Somebody's been out. Somebody's been hurt. And now it's Jalen Brunson who's
right.
out.
Robinson comes back, Brunson out. But if you get him back in time, and so the last thing I want to hit on what you said was, you know, last year a likable group, and I totally agreed with you on that when you looked at the way the team came together, the ties they had prior, it worked. They didn't get as far as they probably could have because of injury. I still think it's a likable team. I do. And I'm outside looking in. I'm not even a Knick fan. I do believe the podcast means something when you see them in a different form and setting. I don't think that it's an unlikable team, but I will tell you, it feels like they're a little bit broken for the first time in a while.
I just, you know, the podcast is fine. I have no problem with it. I really don't. And they're not controversial by any stretch of the imagination.
They're fun.
They're more humorous. They give you a little bit better feel of who the Knicks are, and the fact that James Dolan went on with them was pretty cool, I thought. But at the end of this season, they're going to find out exactly what expectations mean.
Agreed.
And I would not be surprised if they get housed by either Cleveland or Boston in the second round, or they lose in the first round to somebody.
Well, that would be a disaster.
They are going to get booed.
No, losing in the first round is not acceptable. And I don't even think losing in the second round to a Knick fan this year would be acceptable.
I just want to tell them that there are serious, serious expectations for them. And Jalen and Josh could talk about it on their podcast all they want about playing together and playing as a team and coming together as a team, and we're still a work in progress. Hey, wait a minute, time out. We are 3/4 of the way into the season.
For sure.
The time to come together is past. It is totally past. And this team has spent a lot of assets, a lot of money. Both Carl Anthony Towns and OG Anunoby are making a ton of dough.
Yeah.
As is, Jalen Brunson. Good for them. They all deserve it. But are they good enough? Are they truly good enough and committed enough to play the defense that's going to be required to beat possibly both of these teams in the playoffs if they can get that far.
Well, they would have to, yeah, likely they would have to because
and
as
then, think about this. I'm sorry, Jerry. Think about that. Let's just say they play Boston in the second round and somehow they beat Boston. Then they got to play Cleveland in the final round, the Eastern Conference Championships. Let's say they beat them. Then they got to go on and most likely play Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah. And these are three teams that they haven't beaten all season long.
You're right.
I mean, so the chances of them getting there and going to a championship, while I appreciate what Leon Rose has done with this team, and it's going to be one of the better regular seasons we've had in a long time, I just don't see their path to a championship.
Well, all right, so then what other moves are there to be made? I mean, this team is damn good right now.
Their core players are going to stay together.
You have to go out and beat the teams in front of you. As it sits right now, you'd play Detroit in the first round, which, by the way, not a cakewalk.
That's not going to be easy either.
Not easy. There's no question that's not easy. And, yeah, you're going to be likely faced with Boston in that second round.
I'll tell you what, if they mail it in against Detroit, if, in fact, the two they play.
No, I don't think so. That's not this team.
I don't think it is either. I'm just putting out the warning signals. And they're going to have to work on their bench next year. They're going to have to figure out depth issues. And, what can I tell you? They're probably as good as they're going to get. And then, unfortunately, there are at least three teams that are better than I'm significantly better than them.
But do you not think, and I know this is revisionist history, if Jalen Brunson doesn't get hurt last year, you don't think they have an opportunity to go further than they did?
No, because they were
better than the Pacers.
You lost OG, you lost Julius Randle, I mean, and you lost Mitchell Robinson. That's all the depth that you had going into the playoffs last year. Then I would say, yeah, you would have had a chance. You know why? Because they could muck up a game last year. And they would play defense.
And they did.
And they were tough.
And that's been the question. Will they do that when we get to the postseason and revert back to that defensive team? And I don't know that they will. I think they're going to have to. I don't know. Because here's what we do know. They can put up 130 points any night they need to.
Can you hold the team? Against Midland or, two-tier teams. But they're not going to do it against the one-tier.
So last night, the Knicks played the Spurs. They got blown out. And I would be the first one to kind of put my arms around Knicks fans. I give them a massage and say, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
It is March. They are locked in basically to a 3 seed. They are playing without Jalen Brunson. I wouldn't go crazy about the result. Now, that's something I would say as a fan, as an IBO. But I'm not sure what you want as a Knicks fan is to hear excuses. Me making an excuse on the radio or a Knicks fan making an excuse on the radio or Tiki analyzing, hey, I think this is affecting them is one thing.
Yep.
But do you want to hear your players make excuses?
Oh, of course.
You do want to hear them make excuses?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, here is Josh Hart after an awful performance doing what Tiki wants, making every excuse in the book.
You already know, like, the biggest thing about the NBA is the travel. That's the toughest thing. And we're in the dog days of the season. And so, you know, your body's already going to be tired and you got to get going. And then, you know, you got to find it mentally. And, a little bit drained mentally, but we got to make sure we regroup. We got another tough one tomorrow with a team that plays it extremely fast. We're on a back-to-back and we lose an hour. So we got, you know, certain things scheduling-wise against us. So we got to make sure we, pick it up.
So that was a 30-second clip. He talked about travel. He talked about his body being tired.
Yep.
He talked about the dog days of the season. He said how we need to find it mentally, how they're drained. And then he mentioned the back-to-back. They do play tonight against Charlotte. But that was not all. Josh Hart had more to say about, you know, what the hell's going on.
We've had a tough schedule the last couple of weeks, going on the road for a week and a half, come back, national TV game to go right into a back-to-back where we lose hours. So we knew it was going to be tough. We just weren't there, you know, physically or mentally. We were just fatigued.
So, tough schedule.
Fatigue's a bitch.
Fatigue's
makes
a bitch, man.
Makes a coward out of everybody.
National TV into a back-to-back. And when I heard Josh say this.
He's right, though.
I agree.
He's just telling the truth.
I agree. My answer was, I think he's saying a lot of truths.
Absolutely.
There's a problem, though.
Why?
You want to know the problem?
Yeah, tell me.
I would like to play you a clip from the captain of the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, after the Knicks had a loss back in January.
I mean, we can say that, but like I said, it's not an excuse of why we lost tonight. That's just, we don't say we were tired. This is not who we are.
We don't say we're tired. That's not who we are. The question to Jalen a few months ago was, hey, you guys must be tired, schedule, blah, blah, blah. And the captain of the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, rejected it.
We don't say we were tired.
No. We don't say we're tired. That's not who we are. Josh Hart took a minute of our time last night to do nothing but talk about how tired they are.
So what's the point?
My point is they miss Jalen Brunson's leadership.
Is it Jalen Brunson who is the leader of the team and he will not make an excuse, which means there's no headline, but he's lying. Whereas,
who's lying, Jalen?
Yeah, they were tired back in January. Josh Hart is just keeping it real.
So you prefer the Josh Hart plan?
No, I prefer the Jalen Brunson plan, but I'm not mad at Josh Hart for just saying, I'm tired, dude. It's exhausting. They play too many minutes. They're shot.
Well, he didn't say that part, though.
He alluded that part. I don't know if you didn't hear that, but that's what I heard.
Is that what you took out of it?
100%.
That's interesting.
I'm shot, tired. I haven't had a day off in, what, ever.
And they play, like, even on nights where they get blown out, like last night, they all play as starters 30 yes. minutes a night. So even on a night where you can say, hey, they're getting blown out, OG Anunoby played 37 minutes and Josh Hart played 35 minutes.
What's the point?
Whose point?
I'm just saying, rhetorically, what is the point of that?
Of which point?
Playing 37 minutes.
Oh, Tom Thibodeau's minutes. Point. I don't know if you meant my point,
No,
point.
No. I'm just saying in general, to the ether.
It's
the basketball ether. What's the point of that?
I think that is there are two levels to this, okay? And I understand the Knicks fan who says, bro, they lost by 15, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the 3 seed, which I've already laid out. This doesn't bother me. Nothing burger, move along. That's fine. You have every right to think that. What jumped out at me before we get back to the minutes thing, which is also something to take out of this, is how what Josh said last night coming off one of his worst games of the year was a direct contradiction of what the captain says.
Yeah.
And it's a sign that they missed the captain, not just for the obvious reasons because they need the ball in his hands, but because there's that accountability that was not there last night when Josh Hart took the bait and basically said we're tired as an excuse for why they got their ass beat by a team that's tanking.
Well, Josh Hart is also... I don't want to say he's a shell, but he is a fraction of what he was a year ago. Last year, you could count on him to go find points, go find buckets, whether it was knocking down three-pointers with confidence or being aggressive rebound, offensive rebound, and getting put back, whatever it was. These last couple of games, he scored 0 points. I don't know what he scored 2 days ago, but he had two last night, right? It's just he's not that same player. And even when he's not scoring, you could count on him to have double-digit rebounds.
Right.
You're not seeing it right now. So he's either actually really tired or something's off with him.
Well,
he's dealing with the injuries.
Yeah, there were reports a few weeks ago about a knee issue. Yes. And I think Stephon Bondy had said he may need surgery. And then Josh Hart said it's not true. And mm-hmm. Bondy walked it back. Clearly, there's something physically wrong with him. But then why is he playing, to your point, and this goes back to point A,
because,
35 minutes a night?
Because Tibbs depends upon him. He needs his example. And it's hurting him in the short and long run. Because if this lingers into the postseason, if there's this fatigue, if this is lingering, I don't know, my knee hurts and I don't feel like I can go 100%, it's going to hurt him in the postseason as well. Right. If there's anybody on this team that deserves to just sit down for a couple of days, it's Josh Hart.
No doubt. And even in a night like last night where they were getting blown out throughout, I know they did make the run to get within, I think, about 6. Everybody played over 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you can have every right to say I'm wrong for saying this as a former athlete. But as a fan of athletes, even if the excuses are true, because I'm not denying that those excuses are all true.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a fan, don't want to hear it.
No.
Just tell me you suck.
Yeah, but
how
else are you telling Tom Thibodeau?
Forget Tom. Well, the minutes thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a different story. Telling Tom Thibodeau through the media that you need to cut down minutes is one thing.
This is the second guy that's done it.
Yeah, but Mikal Bridges did it straightforward. He said, we're playing too many minutes. Josh Hart's confusing me because he's making excuses and getting my fan radar up to say, hey, dude, stop making excuses. Jalen Brunson already told us
we don't make excuses. Excuse. I think he was just stating a fact. Like, the reality is, if you're tired, you're tired.
But you heard what Jalen said.
I'd heard what Jalen said, but that's Jalen.
He's the leader of the team.
Of course he is, but he's not leading right now.
Well, that's a problem.
Of course it is.
I think that's what they miss. I wonder if Jalen Brunson's on the floor last night. Look, they probably still lose. It's an off night. Mm. If Jalen keeps the troops in order, to not be sitting there whining about back-to-backs and travel. Like, I'm not arguing with you that those things aren't real. Of course they're real. The Knicks have had a brutal schedule. I'm not disagreeing with that. But when the star player is sitting there in January saying, we don't make excuses, and now Josh Hart's out there for 45 seconds on a diatribe about traveling back-to-backs, and we're not there physically, and we're not there mentally, it sounds like you're contradicting everything the captain said. Now, back to your point, because I think your point is probably more critical.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a message to Tom Thibodeau about minutes, I think he needs to be more direct.
Yeah.
Like Mikal Bridges.
Right.
Or just do it behind the scenes. And if it's not working behind the scenes, then we got problems.
Right.
Then that screaming match that they had was not a nothing burger and maybe is a something burger if Tom Thibodeau is strictly ignoring what Josh Hart tells him. Because as much as Tommy likes to make that cute little line like, he must have been cloned, he's a machine, he's a dog, that's not the case lately. The case is he's human. The case is he had a minus 26 last night and couldn't make a shot. The case is Josh Hart right now is struggling. So he's not a clone.
Nope.
He's not amazing. He's not the Energizer Bunny. He's a human being that bleeds like all of us.
And he's probably hurt.
And yet he still played 35 minutes in a game they got their ass kicked.
Right.
So it's a problem. Let's go to Edgar. He's calling from the fine island that is very long. How are you, Edgar?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
First time caller.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Yeah, so about the Knicks, with 14 games left, I believe 13 after tonight, do you foresee a lineup change coming? Me, I personally feel like I think Mitchell Robinson should be starting next to Karl-Anthony Towns in order to, you know, offset his defense and Jalen Brunson's a bit once, you know, Brunson returns. I also have Miles McBride in mind to also start because he's pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
I love Josh Hart. Trust me. Believe me, I'm on Twitter, and I say it all the time. Dude is a trooper, and he always plays hard. I know he's been having, you know, some bad games lately. He did have the triple-double against the Miami Heat, but overall, he's a really good player. But then I'm looking at Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart. Which guy would you pick to come off the bench if Mitchell Robinson starts?
Josh Hart.
Or Deuce.
Josh Hart.
Well, I mean, here's the challenge. Like, last night against Sando Mamukulis Villa, like, they just...
Seton Hall Pirate,
they
baby!
They didn't rotate to him. And so, what perimeter defender is guarding a seven-footer who can shoot three-pointers?
Karl-Anthony Towns defended like crap last night. Well, he gave you all the offense you want.
He was only on him for three of those, but it was mostly Precious. And even if Precious is running out to him, he can't affect his shot. You know what I mean? So, if you start Mitchell Robinson, he's going to get toasted on the perimeter. That's not his deal. For whatever reason, they had a better lineup last night. And the Knicks played tired. They didn't score enough offensively.
Yeah, I mean, Kat did. He was the one guy who was consistent offensively. The problem, I think, with starting Mitch right now is they're playing tonight against the Charlotte Hornets on a back-to-back. He's not playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are taking it easy with him. And as much as we just talked about minutes, Mitchell Robinson's not playing big minutes.
Yeah.
You look at last night.
He can't.
No, I get that. So starting him, kind of, you're just divvying up the 17 minutes a night he's going to play in a very different way. So I don't know if he's in position to start until he's all the way back.
Right.
Now, the early returns on Mitch and Kat on the floor at the same time are very good. They have defended at a very high level in the periods of time where they have shared the floor together. So I definitely think there's a lot of potential with Kat at the four and Mitch at the five. But right now, Mitch is still working his way back as well as he played last night because he's still only playing 17 minutes a night.
Mm.
Let's go to Mark in Southern California. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up?
Evan, I don't know if I heard you right, but did you say, tell me if you suck, you suck? Okay, on this particular thing, you suck. Because one reason why is because you say you know them guys that agree with you on certain things and sound like they're in your corner. And let me put it this way. If you know that word, misery loves company.
Yeah.
Being you a Nets fan,
you sound
just like
But that has nothing to do with this. I'll be honest.
You're trying to be politically correct.
I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm being honest with you. Jalen Brunson says, don't bitch about traveling, complain about being tired, and Josh Hart does it. Where am I wrong?
But, Wait a minute. No, but you're not wrong. But get this. This is the thing. He said that in January. This is March, man. It's a whole different month.
Right.
The other thing, too, on top of that, is I have to admit, I'm not an athlete, but for a month of November back in 97, I flew back and forth every weekend from L.A. to Newark. I put my suitcase in my manager's office, and I went right to work. Man, by 2 hours after that, I felt like somebody hit me with that suitcase because of the jet lag right. that comes with it. It's no way around that, man. You can't win that.
But I'm not, but Mark, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that travel's a bitch in the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. I'm disagreeing with the fact that Josh Hart publicly used it as an excuse when the star player said, we don't do that. And I don't buy your, well, he did it in January. He would say that in March differently. No, he wouldn't. He's the captain of the team. Jalen Brunson would not sit there and blame travel. He wouldn't do it. So I'm not.
You're right.
I'm
You're
not
right.
bitter net fan. I'm quoting a guy I respect in your room, and his name is Jalen Brunson, who I've proclaimed is the king of New York City. And I believe that basically more and more as every day goes by.
Yeah, but
things like this prove it.
He's just not available right now.
I know,
so
but
there's nothing you can do about it.
The attitude should still be in that locker room.
Mm.
The Knicks last night, BT, they get down early and you're thinking, geez, this team is a bunch of dogs and maybe they're not going to respond. What was it, 12-0 with Miami getting out to the early run? Then Cat goes nuts with his 15 points straight and just doing things that big men don't do, which is what makes him so special. My main takeaway was not the win over the Heat last night and not even really a response to the criticism that people, yourself included, threw their way with the Karl Anthony Towns stuff and Draymond Green, you know, the way the Knicks, his teammates handle it. Afterward, his coach handling it, we're dapping it up with Draymond Green after the game. It was more, this team is really freaking good. They are talented. I know the Heat aren't any good, so I'm not just talking about that win. But the way that they could light it up at any moment, I mean, Bridges again showing what he could do. Hart, another triple-double. Like, people just dismiss Josh Hart.
Mm-hmm.
He's breaking records, triple-doubles with the franchise, going back to Walt Clyde Frazier. Like, I know why you, BT, hold them to a higher standard with the expectations. I understand all your issues with the Knicks. I still feel like, as a majority, not just you, as a whole, we are underappreciating just how good this Knicks team is this year.
I don't feel that way, but I know why you say it. I honestly do know why you say it. I think if this was a year ago and there was some of the criticisms levied toward the Knicks, like, they're not going to win a championship, which I don't think they will. Unfortunately, then I think it's like, oh, that's way too early. I mean, they're just getting this thing going. Let's show a little gratitude here. But when you make the move that they've made, as I've said many times, the expectation clearly is ratcheted up, and that expectation is now a championship. And I don't think that they're built to win a championship, both in the Hart perspective. I don't think they're tough enough, and I don't think they've got enough great players to do it. But a couple of things, there was a lot there. So a little cherry picking here. Number one, I love Josh Hart. I think every Knick fan does, but would you give me a break with the triple doubles? Yeah, so I'm Clyde Frazier. He's got the same amount that he passed him. I think he tied him. All tied right, him, right, okay. With eight, whatever it was. Yeah, he's the same impactful player that Clyde Frazier was back in the 70s. Come on. No, it just tells you how diluted the NBA is. Please, he would have had quadruple doubles right, if he
but,
played
but
now, Clyde Frazier.
I'm not saying he's as good as Clyde Frazier.
No, I know you're not, but I can't even react to the record. Big deal.
But the fact that no Knick has done anything close since, like, doesn't matter.
The Knicks have sucked for 20-something years.
Okay.
that's the answer.
But maybe that's kind of the point, right, where we actually have a good team or even the best. You know, Josh Hart is nowhere near the best player on the team, and he's contributing at a very high level to triple-doubles.
I do love his grit. I am a Josh Hart fan. I just had to say, like, that's an observation. Like, come on, man. Number one. Number two, there's 15 games to go, all right? Do you think after the 15 games that you will feel better or worse about this Knicks team going into the playoffs? And before you answer, understand this. Now, I know Tom Thibodeau is a little coy, a little back and forth. Jalen Brunson's still in a boot, just to let you know. I know you know this.
Wasn't there a report on that yesterday that
he said, yes, there was
April,
a report.
Excuse me, end of March, early April.
He's out. Dude, I don't think he's playing again this regular season. I really don't. He's still in a boot. And Tom Thibodeau was a little bit evasive. And again, that's gamesmanship, whatever. But he's like, yeah, well, sometimes he's in it, sometimes he's not. All right, well, if he's in it sometimes, that means we got a problem here with 15 games to go. So I just wanted to weave in the Brunson news. You make of it what you will. 15 games to go. We know everything we've seen so far. The good, the bad, the other stuff, which Draymond Green, the frustrating stuff. Do you think he'll feel better or worse about this team in 15 games?
I think probably the same. And if anything, I would lean maybe better only because of the emergence. Now, you were ahead of this. I was like, what good is going to come out of it with Brunson being hurt? I'd rather see him here. But you're seeing the emergence of Bridges. Mitchell Robinson back. Like, you're seeing some different things. And we know what's going to happen when Brunson comes back. Like, Brunson's going to be Brunson. The question is, how do the other guys respond?
Yep.
Specifically, Bridges. How is he going to respond? But I think maybe more encouraged because the defense, I do think, has been better. And because Bridges is showing he can be a top scorer, he's just got to figure out how to do it with Brunson on the floor.
That's why I thought it was a bit of a silver lining. Like, you know, Jalen Brunson is going to come back, and, you know, when he comes back, he's still going to be Jalen Brunson, I would think. And you could even make the case that he's going to be energized and refreshed because his legs have really been on ice for a while. So, you know, with all the minutes that he logs and the, you know, double teams and the pick and rolls and just carrying the Knicks offense so often as he does, and going back to, you know, last year as well, that this respite here for him as his ankle heals might be better all around for his body going into the playoffs here. But the other reason why I thought there was a silver lining is because, and you just identified this, and it's the early, I don't want to overstate it, and it's not about me saying I was right. I don't even care about that. But I thought there was a chance that Mikal Bridges would assert himself on a deeper level because Brunson's gone. And I do trust that if Brunson's healthy, that he will seamlessly transition. And then the hope is that as he transitions back to being Jalen Brunson, this elevated role that Mikal Bridges now has will remain the same. I don't know if that will happen, but that was always my hope when Brunson went down.
Okay, so I ask you the question. You think you're going to feel worse about this team in the next 15 games?
I think I'm going to feel the same.
Right, okay.
I'm not going to feel worse.
So we kind of know. Like,
but I don't feel good now, to be fair. So I know, but I'm not going to feel worse.
Right, and I feel better than you. Like, it's basically been consistent throughout the course of the year with how I felt going in compared to how you felt going in. And then we watched it play out. Like, if anything, I'm mildly discouraged only because of their performance against some of the big teams as far as the results go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the watching every one of those games made me feel like the Knicks just can't compete at that level. Specifically on this West Coast trip, the Lakers game, I thought they played a hell of a game. And it just happened to be a tough loss in which Brunson got hurt. Now, they shouldn't have lost the game, blow the lead, whatever they did. But they played a hell of a game, and if you play a best of seven against that team, you're going to beat that team. Like, they could, and I'm not saying beat them, you know, 4 out of 7, but you're going to beat that team at least a couple of times.
You get a couple wins.
Yeah, like, I don't think that the Knicks can't compete at that level. Same thing with Golden State. Like, tough game. Without Brunson, they lost a tough game against the Warriors, who are as good as anybody right now in the league since they made the trade for Jimmy Butler. So those, to me, were kind of encouraging performances, all things considered, even with the losses. So that made me feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will beating the Celtics in April make me feel better, before the postseason? Maybe. Maybe the Cavs game, second to last game of the year. I don't know who's going to be playing for everybody, but maybe you could feel a little bit better if at least they get a win on the board against the Celtics and or the Cavs. The most important thing for me was seeing what Mitchell Robinson was going to do to this team when he came back.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now we don't get to see Mitch with Brunson. So now I'm kind of pushing it forward, saying I need to see what this version of Bridges combined with Mitch and Brunson being healthy, what they could do in the playoffs.
Well, the good news, at least pertaining to, because the Bridges stuff, I don't know if he's going to remain as aggressive as he's been without Brunson, and we said that before, but the good news with Mitchell Robinson, you can plug and play him with anybody. You know, hey, go get the ball, set some screens, move your feet up top, block some shots, get some offensive stick backs, here's a little a rim runner, alley-oop to keep you happy because you're working your tail off on defense. I'm not worried about Mitchell. Like, I was just worried about Mitchell Robinson being healthy.
Yeah.
You know, but when he's on the basketball court, he is a demon, man. He is a difference maker. Listen, I think my three biggest issues with the New York Knicks are, and in really no particular order, although this seems to have come to the forefront, I didn't think this was that big of an issue until the other night with the Warriors. I just don't think they've got the championship part.
Did you see the...
I don't.
Did you see the... See, and I'm not there yet. I think this team's got some fight and some toughness. Maybe not to the level that we saw a year ago. Yet, remember, that team was battle-tested. They went through wars together.
Like, they did.
You know, sports wars, obviously. They go through those battles together. It bonds you as a team. You become tougher. This team hasn't done that yet. They haven't handled that adversity within a post-game series that you'd like to see, that you saw from the other group, and that you'd like to see this team moving forward. Did you see the commercial with
That's DiVincenzo? A good commercial.
It was
a good one.
The Nova guys, where you had Brunson, Bridges, and Hart, and they see Dante walking by himself. Oh,
and they're like, "Yo, what's up? How you been?" You know, they flip my hat. He looks so lonely. Bring him back already. It sure beats seeing the the Samuel L. Jackson, Spike Lee, and Barkley commercials 30,000 times every March. Yeah. I mean, come on, they're driving across. We know. And by the way, I mean, how about Spike showing up at St. John's the other day? What are we doing, man? We know you're a Hoya fan. Stop. Come on. I understand you want to, you want to insert yourself into the action. I got no problem with Spike, but you know, now he's wearing a St. John's starter jacket, and he's up and he's front row, and he's cheering and hooting and hollering like he cares. Spike, you don't care about St. John's. You never have.